Chris Webber in the building tonight. He was already here today, sat down with some members of the media. I think he's going to be at the Rivercats game and Oak Park tomorrow, and then he'll be back here on Sunday hobnobbing with people, promoting his book. I was just looking at the interview that I guess Frankie and Brenda did with him today. You can see it on our YouTube channel. You can check it out on Twitter. And Webb, his book is called By God's Grace. He talked about the importance of having good people around you and having positive people and the importance of having faith in what you're doing. And I think that's a good message for Kings fans today. With so
I've been
much
trying to preach that.
Seemingly slipping away, but still so much within reach.
So much within reach. And, you know, for me, you know, you still have a chance at A, getting into the playoffs, and B, getting a 7 or 8 opportunity where you have two cracks at getting into the playoffs. And so I know things are tough right now. Times are tough. Squad is down. People are hurt, injured. But there's still another game. And as long as there's another game and another opportunity, I'm going to stay up, Whitey. I'm going to stay up and fire it up for this team.
I was a little discouraged last night by the fact that the Kings did so many things well offensively. Right. You look at the numbers like, wow, HB had 22, Keegan had 19, and they shot 55%. They shot 42% from three. If you'd told me before the game, if you'd gone into the future and come back with just the Kings half of the box score and showed it to me, I said, man, they're going to win this game by 9.
I mean, they scored 123 against
these
guys.
Yeah.
Pelicans, one of the top defensive teams out there, man. And so, no, you're right. Offensively, they were pretty good last night.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was the system or the offense, because you look at the shot distribution, it was pretty even. Fox did what you want Fox to do. Yep. He had 33 on 18 shots, and he also, let's see, he had 8 assists. Domas, it was a rough night for him in some ways, but his numbers were, he was very efficient, and yet they could not get the stops, even though the Kings have been playing much, much better defense of late. Just the Pelicans are just an almost impossible matchup for them.
Impossible matchup, and let me say this. The Pelicans out-Kings the Kings, if you will. Pelicans' offense was humming. What did they shoot from three? 55%?
That's correct.
Like
22
that?
Of 40.
22 of 40. I mean, that's – and we know the Kings, you know, three-point defense at times this season has been an issue. I felt like they've done better as of late. But the Pelicans, man, they – and Antonio Daniels said this before the game yesterday. There are certain teams, certain arenas, certain gyms that you just feel better in. You come in feeling confident. And we saw last night this Pelicans team felt confident. I actually thought during that second quarter run, late into the first, beginning of second quarter, that run that the Kings were on, I thought, man, they did a great – they were physical. They made life difficult. Pelicans still scored 30 in the second quarter. Like, so even if the Kings were playing good defense, the Pelicans still found a way.
Yeah, I was encouraged by the way the Kings came back, but then I saw Carmichael Dave's tweet that said, forget it, there's no chance the Kings could win. And then I thought, oh, well, never mind.
I'm not going to address that guy right now because I'm so upset at him. I'm just, it's like, dude, let the games play out. And I can't tell you, I've had people text me some of the same things. Oh, we're done. I'm like, bro, it's 4-0. What are you talking about? Like, it's like we're so, you know, and I never get a text. And this is what bothers me. I never get a text that says, man, we got them when we're up 6-0 or something. You know, it's always the negative. Like, that's the default that we go to instead of saying, man, I feel good about this one. We're going to win this. It's always the opposite, always the negative.
So the Kings, as you know, in the play-in. Where in the play-in? We're not sure. Very interesting piece in The Athletic today by Anthony Slater, who was here last night, breaking all the possibilities down. And Slates is going to join us bottom of the hour. We were just talking about what Mike Brown said last night about how the process is good for the Kings. This is part of the growth for the team going forward. He said the experience is invaluable, which I understand. I just think the thing that makes me – that I can't buy completely there is the elephant in the room, which is when you look at the talent disparity in the West, and it's of course, magnified by the fact that the Kings are without two of their rotation players. They got a lot of room to make up there. You compare the Kings roster. You just mentioned Denver, you know, and Denver's got Jokic, and they got Murray, and they got Gordon, and they got Porter. So that's where – I think that's where the Kings are going to have to get busy this offseason and make up ground. That's going to – go a lot longer towards making up that ground than just, oh, this experience. Next year, they'll be better for the experience.
Right, exactly. I mean, but we knew before this week, We knew prior to securing a play-in tournament berth that the roster was flawed. And then you lose two of your top five guys. I'm talking about Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. And what are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Your flaws are even magnified even more. And so there's definitely work to be done. And I've said it during the trade deadline last year. This is a huge offseason for Monty McNair. The problem is I'm not sure what we can do asset-wise. Because Malik Monk, we got to re-sign him, right? We all agree, you know, yep, it's important to re-sign him.
Domas is leaving if they don't re-sign him.
No, he's just right. He's like, out. I'm out of here. I'm
getting
out of here.
On HB's bike, and he's driving out of here.
But if Malik does leave, we don't have the money to just go out there and get a Malik replacement at $20 million or whatever. You know, like we're hamstrung. And so then you look at our draft picks situation. We got the one tied up with the Atlanta Hawks. We need that to convey so we can trade some of these future assets. And so it's going to be difficult, but Monty McNair, you got to improve this roster, man. We know that.
What do you think of this idea? You're not going to like it. Most people are not going to like it, I think. But just bear with me.
Uh-oh.
And I hope the Kings get into the playoffs. That would be great. It's great for our business. It's great for us fans. It's fun. It's what I want.
Right.
If they don't, you know, and that's certainly a possibility, then you still have that draft pick,
yeah,
which nobody wants. Everyone wants, get rid of it, get rid of it, so you can trade or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you have that pick this year, if you end up with that pick, I would think about very aggressively maybe even trading up this year. And I know people are going to say, it's a bad draft. Maybe. No one ever knows right. that for sure. You're not picking the whole draft. You're looking
for one guy. Right.
If you find a guy you really like, there's a couple of players that declared today, Matas Buzelis and mm-hmm. Filipowski. If the Kings really like somebody, they end up in the draft and they like somebody, I would trade up. That's a way you can address the talent gap. You bring in somebody, there's risk involved because they're young. You don't right. know how good they're going to be, but that's also very affordable.
Affordable, yes. It doesn't, you know, mess up your cap
yes.
situation.
Yes,
that's for sure. And, you know, I wonder, and I hear you on that, Whitey. I think if we did do that, then you're adding in another young piece that might take a couple of years.
It would. And you're right. Probably would.
I think Kings fans are looking for the jump next season. You know, 46 wins, a play-in tournament berth next season. I don't know if that will be acceptable for this Kings team. And so what moves can you make that moves you into top five in the Western Conference category. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the moves are. I don't know.
I haven't
looked at
you.
What's out there.
We're just talking philosophies, though.
Right.
To me, that philosophy, it's if it's achievable short term, a big jump, you still, to me, you can't get, it's really hard to get to the championship level.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
You make a trade, you bring in a big name. Again, theoreticals. Next year, wow, you could be way better, but are you really on a path to being a champion?
Well, I think, and we keep talking about Denver, I keep bringing it up. Who's our Aaron Gordon? Who's that guy that's sort of, you know, fizzling out in his current market? They're not winning, you know, and they're looking at, all right, maybe it's time to hit the reset or something like that. Who's that guy that's out there?
But remember, the three of their big studs, right, Porter and Jokic and Murray, they drafted those guys.
But we already got three studs, Murray, Sabonis, and Fox. We need somebody to add to them, a veteran guy that's maybe an upgrade over some of the guys we have. I don't know who that is. Let me think about this.
No, I know, and it's difficult, and then it's, is he available, and blah, blah, blah.
Right,
but we're
right.
just talking philosophy.
Philosophy.
Here.
Now, I hear you, but if you can get up into the top two or three, top five, maybe I do that, but not to go from 14 to 9, right? Like, is that the kind of move, like,
if you could do that through the draft, I think a slower rebuild actually has a higher ceiling, and it's a matter of, is your fan base patient enough for that, given where they've been? I mean, I'm looking more like the OKC model.
Do you think this Kings fan base is patient after this season?
I think if you show them the right things, they can. They certainly can be. They've proven that.
Right.
They may not want to be, but
I feel like
they've
forgotten about that, though. The way this season has gone, I feel like Kings fans expected 48 wins to go from number three to number two or 55 wins. Like, we can actually achieve 47 wins, and that's not good enough for some fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's because, I mean, look where they are. It's 47 wins. Yeah, but where does that get you? We don't know yet. But
we know last year was an outlier. Let's keep it real. last year was an outlier because you only had Memphis and Denver. Everybody else, Golden State was down, Lakers down, Clippers down, OKC, Minnesota, like all those teams underachieved, Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're all, a lot of them overachieving, you know, Minnesota, OKC. And so each year, as Jason Jones said, is its own entity.
And is qualifying for the play-in, is it an accomplishment? We'll look at that. Also, we'll look at the original play-in in the NBA and how the rules were actually different for the original play-in format. Next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. De'Aaron Fox postgame last night. The postgame was fascinating to me, Drapes, and dear listener, because the Kings, they met fully all the obligations to meet with the media. But you heard there De'Aaron a little bit, and we heard a little Mike Brown earlier. They really didn't have a lot to say. And to me, it was pretty clear. Two things going on. One, you are, as a player, you're processing, all right, you know, we did want to be in the playoffs. We still have a chance here, but now we got to take a step back and figure this out. And then two, like De'Aaron said there, we got a game tomorrow, a huge game.
Right.
We don't, there's no time to talk about what happened in New Orleans. It's like, no, we got to look ahead. And so they really didn't want to spend a lot of time worrying about last night because they need to win tonight.
They do. And, you know, this is a desperate Phoenix team that's coming in. And, you know, and here's the thing. Phoenix actually has a little bit more to play for than you because they still have a shot at the sixth seed, you know.
They have the tiebreaker over the Bells, I think?
Yeah.
Or is it the other way around?
I'd have to look it up. Yeah. But they still have a shot at the sixth seed. And so, and, you know, they've been, you know, their home woes. We saw them the other day get mollywopped at home by the Clippers.
The shorthanded Clippers.
Yeah, shorthanded Clippers. And so, you know, it's going to be tough, man. And you look at the elite skill level that they have with Beal, Booker, and Durant. The one thing they don't have is the physicality on the defensive end. And so, you know, it's sort of like being a boxer. And, Jay, you're a fan of the sweet science. It's like styles matter. And the Pelican style is not a good matchup for us, but I think we fare better against this Phoenix Suns team.
Suns have tiebreaker over the Pelicans, too, by the way, fellas.
Suns have
Suns, yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jay. Appreciate that. Do you remember when the NBA had to go in the bubble and, you know, they had the truncated season because of the pandemic, and they ended up, that was the first year they tried the play-in because they didn't play a complete season. Do you remember the format? The format for that was 8 plays 9 in each conference, only if 9 was within 4 games of 8.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Really?
That's, yes.
Oh,
and the way it worked was, okay, if 9 is within 4 games of 8, they play, but 9 has to beat 8 twice.
Right.
That was the way they did it.
Wow. That was only a few years ago, and I don't even remember that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if they officially called that the play-in because it was the first time they'd done it. And then the next year was the play-in as it is now.
Yeah.
It's probably a little too complicated to do that every year. You know, this way is cleaner, like 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
You're all in. But I, this would be a very exciting weekend without the play-in. If
without
you had no play-in, this would be a really, really exciting NBA weekend.
I'd be nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm nervous now, but I'm kind of like, all right, at least we know we get at least one game next week.
Right.
You know, it could all be over on Sunday or during the regular format. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like, it could all end. And so it's sort of another shot at it, a second chance at the lottery, if you will. You know? And so, man, and think about this. You got the Kings, Lakers, and Warriors all tied. Our biggest rivals.
Mm-hmm.
Most hated fan base.
I know.
What I mean? And so this is going to be bragging rights for this offseason as well. I got my guy Bonte Hill. He's ready to tweet about the Warriors surpassing the Kings. And so we got to win this tonight, man. We have to.
So who do you want if you could handpick?
Like
your
matchup?
Your play-in foe.
Playing matchup?
You asked this question yourself earlier today. Because I picked Memphis, but I don't think that.
I know. That's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. That's if I had my druthers for a one-game play-in scenario, I'm taking the Phoenix Suns. I'm taking the Phoenix Suns. As great as Durant and Booker are, I feel like LeBron and Steph Curry are cheat codes. I feel like no matter what you do, when those guys are locked in, they take it to a level that, you know, few people do in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I could argue one game, they might be the two best players in the NBA right now. You know, I throw Jokic in there. I throw, you know, maybe Giannis. But for one game and the ceiling that they can reach, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see those guys.
I don't want any part of the Warriors. I would pick if I could be certain that the officials were good, like they do a really good job, I would take the Lakers, but I'm not overly confident of that. But the Suns, you know, the games this year, one of the Kings' worst losses was that game.
We gave that away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like the Kings have actually played the Suns pretty well.
Beat them the first two, right?
Right.
Lost the last two, including that one that the Kings all but won.
All but won. I mean, what were we up, 18 or 22, something like that? And it collapsed. And I think, you know, when you look at that loss, you know, Frank Vogel switched it up, went small, and that caught the Kings off guard. You know, they switched up their
That's
style.
That's right. That's right.
Right, remember?
I remember Domas, like, he'd go in, no, come out.
Right.
Yeah,
they didn't
yeah.
know how yeah. to handle that.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, we match up best with Phoenix. And I understand we've beaten the Lakers, you know, four straight times. You know, Domas has never lost to Anthony Davis. But I just I still don't like them at their best. Is scary to me.
You think the Lakers, and I respect and understand it, to me it sounds like you think the Lakers are like in the old Godzilla movies where, like, he's frozen underground or whatever, and
right.
then something happens,
right.
and then, oh, here he comes. You woke up LeBron and AD.
Dude, I've seen it too many times from LeBron James, you know, being out there in the Eastern Conference, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our guy, yeah. And I think the Lakers, because they're such a veteran team, like, I don't think they're just coasting, but I don't think they're locked in
mm-hmm.
like they would be come to playoff series. And so, no, I do think the Lakers can make some noise. Can they beat Denver? No. I think Denver is the best team in the Western Conference. But they've owned OKC all season long. That's, you know, a horrible matchup for OKC. And so, depending on the matchups, yeah, I think the Lakers can make a run.
Is qualifying for the play-in an accomplishment this year for the Kings? Disappointment or not, you know, we talked about that earlier. Mm. Is it an accomplishment? Have they accomplished anything to this point, getting in the play-in?
I'm going to say no.
I agree with you 100%.
Okay, all right. We're
100%.
On the same page. I'm like, no, that's nothing to be, you know, great job, great effort. No, especially Whitey, because I look at the teams that did not make the play-in.
Right.
If Houston was going to be ahead of us, Utah, San Antonio, Portland, no. I mean, 10 out of the 15 teams make at least a play-in. And so, to me, that's not an accomplishment. Not,
right.
Like, you should be there.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
As long
like,
as you get out. Again, if
right.
you're in the play-in and then you get out, that is great.
That is an accomplishment.
But if you're in the play-in and you don't get out of it, you haven't really done
right.
anything.
Right. I do not go into the offseason feeling great about the Kings season, this past season, if we get eliminated in the play-in.
See, I had this fear last year that the Kings were going to break the drought by getting into the play-in and not get out of it, and then there was going to be a debate. Well, did they break the drought? Well, they kind of did.
Right,
no,
right.
And I was so glad
so
that
glad.
It was. There's no question. They made the playoffs. This year, you know, some people want to say, well, the play-in, it's the postseason. The NBA does not consider it the postseason. So,
right. And, yeah. and you know what the Kings are if they don't advance from the play-in to the playoffs, they're the Chicago Bulls.
Uh-huh.
The Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay,
you're right.
But you're not like
it's Charlotte Hornets.
Charlotte. You know, it's like, no, we want to be in the big dance. And so, no, I do not think it's something to pat ourselves on the back with
mm-hmm.
if we just make the play-in. No, we got to make the playoffs.
Now, who will the Kings face, as we were discussing? Could be the Warriors, and the Warriors all of a sudden are feeling really good about themselves. Why is that? We'll find out when Anthony Slater from The Athletic joins us next. Drive, guys, Sactown Sports. Well, we had some media royalty in the building last night. Kevin Harlan. Either I almost ran into him or he almost ran into me because he was trying to get to the restroom, you know, halftime. As you know, it's like
yeah.
he had to get to the restroom and he had to get back out there. And so I just like, all right.
You let him go through?
Getting out of the way.
Okay.
Go right on through. Yeah. Right on through.
Yeah. You stay meeting people in some odd places. Kevin Harlan in the bathroom Who else? Wasn't there somebody in the
It was Jamal Crawford in the bathroom also.
Jamal Crawford, right.
It's the weirdest thing when you're like, Jamal Crawford. Right. You try to act like, oh, no big deal. Yeah.
Are you a talker while going? Like if somebody's next to you?
I hate that. Okay. You know, sometimes you have to, but if someone is like, hey, how are you? You know, how do you think I am?
Right.
I'm in the middle of something. Yeah. But other than that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Me too. I'll talk to you after, too. After we wash our hands and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's be civilized.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
But of course, the Kings are playing big games and also a nationally televised game. And this playing thing's going to be interesting.
It is, and look at the star power in this play-in tournament. LeBron, Steph, AD, Fox, Sabonis, Durant. Like, this is some high-level talent will be sent home next week. And I look at Sacramento, and I question and I worry about the mind frame of our team right now, the mindset. Are we defeated? Are we wounded because we know Malik Monk and Kevin Herter aren't there, and so the odds are stacked up against us? Or are we going to come out and fight and try to shock the world? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
Can we be both? Can we be both stunned that without those two guys would still come out to fight?
I hope so. Yeah, I think so. I hope so. You know, you could be down after last night's loss, but once you take that floor, once you come into this building – you got to be ready to play because you still have an opportunity.
Interesting hearing Kevin Herter speak last night about how, as you can imagine, he and his team, they went around to as many doctors as they could, hoping to find somebody that said, no, I think you're going to be good if you just rest.
Right.
And they just obviously couldn't find that person.
Right. So. And went to the surgery. And, you know, I go back to, you know, our friend Isaiah Thomas, you know, his situation in Boston with his injury. He could have either A, had the surgery, or B, let it heal sort of over time. He elected to sort of keep playing, let it heal over time in the offseason, and then he got damaged. You know, I keep saying, what the doctors did to him in Boston, man, I think he got some bad advice, you know. And I don't know that for sure, but, you know, I think it definitely, you know, hurt his career for sure.
It's gonna be interesting if you encounter him today.
That's what because I feel his pain, man. I know I'm on your side, IT.
Yeah. Jay, did you see our guest is ready to go? Yeah, all right. Nice enough to join us here from The Athletic. He covers the Warriors and the NBA at large. I mentioned media royalty in the building last night. He was among them, Anthony Slater. How are you today, Anthony?
I'm doing good. I'm on the way down to Warriors Pelicans right now.
What? Warriors, Pelican? You know we got a big game tonight right here in Sac.
A very large game. Two very large games, 90 miles apart. I wish I could go to both.
What? Yeah. What really jumped out to you about the Kings and the Pelicans last night, Anthony, other than the fact that the Kings obviously just cannot stop them?
Yeah. There's that. I think the thinning depth on the Kings is becoming more glaring, you know, with Herter down, with Monk down. You know, they tried Colby Jones for a couple minutes. I think they were minus 15 in those minutes. Duarte got a shot the second half. He hasn't had that great of a season. You know, Mike Brown is searching, and this is a time of the year you don't want to be searching rotationally. You want to feel set, and they're not, and you can tell last night.
Anthony, I know you know, talk to the Warriors, talk to Lakers, Kings. How are they, you think, viewing the opportunity that's still ahead with the play-in tournament? Or do you sense any kind of defeated attitude among some of these teams?
Well, I think the Lakers and the Warriors have known this was their life for a long time, right? I mean, they've just been desperately trying to get into the 7-8 side of it, and both of them still can. I think the Kings the difference is they have been thirsty for the sixth seed and realistically in the sixth seed. Remember, I mean, you go back a couple weeks ago when they had the Mavericks in town, you know, for that two-game set. Like, it felt like if they could have got two wins, then you would have felt like they're in the driver's seat for the sixth, which is huge now in this new play-in world, the difference between six and seven. But during that two-game set, they lose two games to Dallas and they lose Malik Monk. And the Monk injury, like, it's just massive. I mean, nothing, like, nobody can replicate what he does. feel it in these games, and they have this lack of scoring punch now suddenly on their roster. So I think, I don't want to say defeated for the Kings, but it is, it definitely feels much more like a tumble for the Kings, 3-6 in their last nine, and the fact that they're coming to the realization that they're probably going to be an 8, 9, or 10, whereas the Warriors and the Lakers had this final weekend kind of trying to bounce past the Kings and with, I think, a realistic opportunity.
Anthony Slater with us, of course, from The Athletic. He has a really interesting piece today in The Athletic about the play-in chase here with just a couple of games to go. You mentioned, Anthony, as we all know, the Kings really feeling the loss of Monk and Herter. Do you think it's fair to say that they're paying the price right now for having not done anything to bolster the roster at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, you can say that about any team, any, like, fringe-level contender that did or didn't do anything at the deadline. I mean, extra, you know, better rotation players is always useful. You know, I don't necessarily blame the Kings for not, using first-round picks and emptying the barrel for this team necessarily. And you never know what was out there. Should they have gone harder after Siakam? Would it have been wise to do what the Pacers did? And sounds like the Pacers are committing to Siakam long-term at a really hefty price. And Anobi's another guy. Maybe. But also, I do think there's a long-term view still overhead for this Kings team, and it's beyond this season. And, you know, if they had gone and gotten an extra rotation piece and Malik Monk still gets hurt, like, they're probably not going to make a long run in the playoffs. And we'll also see, you know, I mean, Monk is not out for the season. He's just out to a point that the Kings have to survive long enough to get him back, you know. And we'll see. To me, it is just massive for the Kings to try to stay in the eighth spot, because not only do you get two cracks at, advancing into the playoffs, but you can probably avoid the Nuggets. If you're in the 9-10, the best you can do is get the 8 seed. And right now it's looking like the Nuggets are going to be the 1 seed. You do not want that.
That's a good point right there. Anthony Slater joining the Drive guys here on Sactown Sports 1140. When you look at the play-in teams that are currently there right now, Phoenix, yeah, Sacramento, Lakers, and Warriors, assess their chances of making some noise in the postseason, at least winning a round in the postseason.
Well, again, you know, I'm of the belief that the Timberwolves are vulnerable as they kind of reincorporate Karl Anthony Towns, and the Thunder are vulnerable just because of their youth and lack of just, inside presence. So I think one of those two teams will be the 2 seed. So I think whoever wins the 7-8 play-in game has a real shot in the first round. That could be the Kings, that could be the Warriors, Lakers, and at this point, either Phoenix or New Orleans are the most likely to be in the 7th spot. So I would just categorize whoever is in that 7-8 and whoever wins that 7-8 is the team most likely to make noise. Where if you're in the 9-10, you play Wednesday night, you play Friday night, and if you survive that, you kind of are probably going to wobble into Denver for a Sunday afternoon game 36 hours right later to get blown out by 25 points in game one. And, we'll see. And again, Denver hasn't clinched one. They have if they win their last 2 games and it's against easy opponents, they clinch it. I just expect Denver to be the one. So, and then I guess if I take 2 steps back to answer your question, I probably believe in the Warriors and Lakers a bit more than the Kings right now, because the Warriors and Lakers are healthy and the Kings aren't. You know, I just don't think we can overstate the fact that the Kings lost really, probably their 3rd or 4th best player and maybe their, 6th best player.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Slater with us. Are the Warriors, Slates, are they feeling better about themselves than they have all year? And should they feel that way?
Yeah, you know, I think they are. The Trayce Jackson-Davis rise as a starting center next to Draymond Green has solidified their defense. They have one of the better defenses in the league over the last month or so. They're healthy, as I mentioned. And Kuminga has made a third-year leap and has kind of solidified himself. Clay has, the second most made threes in the NBA since the All-Star break. He's turned his season around. Wiggins has stabilized somewhat. You know, he had that awful start to the season. He's been decent lately, which is all they really need out of him. And they have Steph Curry. You know, Steph Curry honestly is in a mini slump by his standards over the last few months. It's why they rested him the other night. They may try to rest him on the last game of the season if they're able to. They're playing well. Chris Paul is guiding the second unit pretty well. They're 25-11 over their last 36. Their problem this season was Draymond Green got suspended two times for chunk early in the season, and a lot of their veterans struggled, and they were 19-24. But since then, they've played like maybe the fourth or fifth best team in the West. That's what they are right now, but the problem is they're going to have to play out of the play-in, and they know that.
Right. Anthony Slater joining us. Slates, are we seeing the final days of Klay Thompson in a Golden State Warriors uniform?
I think there's a chance of that. I think how this season ends matters, what the Warriors ownership group feels comfortable paying for their entire team, that with this crazy luxury tax bill they pay matters. And I think the fact that, let's say they go into the play-in and get eliminated, you're talking about Joe Lacob looking in the mirror and saying, I just paid a historic tax bill for a 9 seed that didn't even get into a playoff series. Like, is that palatable? Do I need to slash salary? Do I need to get under the tax? And, you know, Klay Thompson's an easy way to get under the tax if he goes from $43 million to zero. And Klay's played well enough to believe that, you know, there's an Orlando, there's a Philadelphia out there that might be willing to give him $25 million a year, something like that. And then the Warriors have to, you know, look at their books and just try to figure out if they're willing to do that as Klay gets up there in age. And if they're not, you know, would Klay be willing to come back on a discount? Can he tell Steph Curry he's leaving, tell Draymond Green, you know, leave this thing that has been built over the last decade? I think there's a lot of relationships involved here. There's a lot of equity, but there's also financial, you know, concerns and transitional, like, you know, or do the Warriors want to turn some minutes over to Moses Moody? What's Chris Paul's future? There's just a lot going on with the Warriors, and I do think whether they do make a little bit of mini playoff run or they don't could dictate what they do.
And, Anthony, we'll let you go on this one. How about Malik Monk? How likely do you think he is to return to the Kings?
Well, in the offseason. I thought you meant during the playoffs. I was like, going to matter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have been clear. I should have been clear. Yeah, I should have been clear.
Yeah. No, I think the Kings will put the best offer they can on the table, which, you know, I don't remember the exact numbers. It's like 4 years, 70-something million, starting at like 17.1 a year, which feels on like the lower end of his market. You know, and he's been happy there. He's kind of, you know, his career has really kind of been boosted and trampoline there. But, you know, I did an interview with him. I know you guys know, however long ago it was, about a month ago, and he mentioned how what happened in the postseason and how the Kings overall felt about the growth of this core and where it was going would matter. And I'm just – it's kind of weird because he got injured, and now if they get eliminated in the next week or so, it's almost an unanswered question. You can't say that this core didn't, you know, produce this season. I'm not sure they got a chance. And I know Monk's of the belief, and I know he will be of the belief, if they get eliminated without him, he could have made the difference, right? So he'll have to look at the offers that are out there. Will a team take him into the 20-plus million range? And it's a possibility. And then what is that, you know, is that going to be a winner? Can he believe he's going to win with the Kings? It's going to be, I think, a little bit of a drama around Monk's free agency.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate your time very much. Enjoy the game tonight. Talk to you soon.
All right, y'all.
All right, big go.
Anthony Slater from The Athletic. Yeah, really interesting piece on the play-in in The Athletic today. When we come back, all A signs continue to point to one thing. Yeah, you know, we're the Sacramento A's looks like it's going to happen. Although they won't call themselves that, of course. We're right back with that from the Golden 1 Center on Sactown Sports. I think Jay's got a little bit of a flashback Friday going. Drive guys with you.
On old school cuts, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations to your guy, Tiger Woods, making the cut.
My guy, Tiger Woods, man. And I haven't been able to watch him much, obviously.
Well, you got it on, right? I can see it. You have it on.
I know,
right?
But he's already completed, man. You know, I'm watching over here. Tough conditions out there at Augusta.
Ooh, look at the flag stick, yeah.
Wind was no joke. I got in around this morning as well.
Yeah?
Played with my guy Dan. I only got through 17 holes because I had to be here on time and ready to go.
How many Kirklands did you spot?
Two, and they were both Dan's. Like, it's funny. Dan's my guy. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Dan. But we're on hole 17. It might have been 15 or 17. And, you know, my ball was in a rough somewhere, and I'm looking, and I'm I spot a ball, and I'm like, nah, this isn't my ball. It was a Kirkland.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, Dan, this is yours. Not even – I knew he didn't even hit it over there or anything, but I just knew. I saw a Kirkland. I'm like, yeah, that's my guy's Dan. He's like, oh, that must be the one I hit from the other tee four holes ago. And I was like, yeah, I knew it. I knew it. So
it sounds like Kirklands are everywhere, literally in your yard.
In my yard, finding them on the course. I mean, I would beg that they're one of the top sellers out there.
I guess
man.
So. Uh-huh.
Like, you know, and so we played with Dan's wife, and she doesn't even play with Kirklands. I'm like, Dan, what are you doing, man? Like, even his wife didn't play with Kirklands. But, no, we had a good time, man.
Would it impress you if I told you this is true? I once outdrove a PGA Tour pro. Would that impress you? It's a fact.
I guess it would, but it got to be something with an asterisk next to it. Like he hit from his knees or he was using an old persimmon wood or something like that.
It was my buddy David Sutherland, and we were playing Antelope Greens. I know you've been out there. And I hit like a 3-wood, and I outdrove him by probably 8 yards. He was rehabbing from an injury, and he hit left-handed with one hand like
exactly.
A sawed-off 5-wood.
I told you.
And I got him, but not by much.
You got him, though. That's
not
that's
by
claim
much.
To fame right there. You're like, holding on to that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, no, that's interesting, man. That's all right. You can. I told you
that
time.
He had a wrist
time.
Injury, and he's like, he's just, oh, I'm just working on my other hand. And then he hit it really well.
It's unbelievable, man. And I told you about the time I was in the golf little charity thing. And, you know, at one hole, they got the long drive champ. And he's like, I guarantee I'll drive you from my knees.
Yeah.
Hitting left hand. I'm like, that's easy money. Sure enough, he smacked it like 280.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, that's ridiculous.
Wow. I am excited about the A's coming here. I think it's very strange. You know, the more we hear about it, the more questions there are. And we touched on this earlier this week. It really looks right now, the more signs we get, the more it looks like John Fisher's endgame is to sell the A's. Not right away, of course. He moves here. He doesn't have to pay anything, right? No rent.
Yep.
He can build up the value of the team, wait for Sacramento to get a bid together, wait for the value of the team to increase. That Vegas thing, it looks like basically he'd have to spend $1 billion to increase his franchise value by $1 billion.
Wow.
So why would he want to do that? So I think he's coming here and he's just going to sit a little bit, and then he's going to pit maybe us against Oakland. Sacramento might be able to buy the A's. I think he's going to sell them. I think that's what this is about.
You think in his mind right now, he's thinking, at some point, I'm going to sell him. Like, that's my end goal with all of this.
Yes. I think another tell, and when I told you this a couple days ago, you touched on this, the farm system right now, somebody who does a pod about farm system, I think this was might have been, Eno Saris? Anyway, he said, if the A's started right now working on their farm system, getting it up to speed, he said, in 5 or 6 years, they'd be 5 or 6 years behind everybody else.
Wow.
So in other words, they haven't spent any money on that.
Right.
Well, you know, when you're moving into a new stadium, a new city, you want to build up your farm system. So when you get there, you can show everybody, look at this.
We got
a new up and coming team. They're really good. The A's aren't doing that. So I think they're going to sell.
Why not stay in Oakland and do that, though? Like, why not stay in Oakland if you're going to sell?
Well, maybe they would have, except they got an offer up here where they didn't have to pay any rent.
They don't have to pay anything, huh?
Plus, they get away from all the protesters a little bit. Who knows? I think there's still going to be a ton of protesters.
Oh, it's going to be tons up here.
Yeah.
Yes. It's just a short drive.
There was a guy sitting there last night with a sell shirt. Did you see
really?
That?
Really? No, I didn't
front
see that.
Row.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
And so,
I'd like to see more of those, and I would like to see him sell.
And, you know, is Vivek positioning himself in the ownership group of the Sacramento Kings, positioning themselves to get a deal here? I was speaking with one owner yesterday about that very thing.
Ah.
You know, they didn't tell me, you know, what the end game was or anything like that, but they were excited to have the A's come to town. And then we were talking about infrastructure. Where would a stadium be? Is it rail yards? Is it on the current site? Right now. No, I'm not just saying. I'm just nothing. I don't have anything. This is just some of the things we were talking about. I don't have anything to report.
Frapes has a scoop, and he's sitting on it.
Not at all. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But, yeah, it's in the back of people's minds, if you will, about the future of the A's, and could it be sustained here in Sacramento?
Well, one of the things that didn't quite make sense to me was, wait, Sacramento's doing this because they might get an expansion team. I mean, yeah, they might, but that still seems
that
like a real long shot. Because there's like one spot available, and we're already behind a lot of cities. But now, this way, you bring them here, and maybe you increase your chances of ending up with that franchise.
It'd be like common law marriage.
I suppose.
You're not getting married, but if you stay long enough, you might as well be, right? The A's stay long enough, they might as well just stay here in Sacramento.
That said, it's still an embarrassment that this is going on in baseball. That especially if he is going to sell the team, that we're going to move to a minor league park for 3 years so that we can make more money, and then I'll sell it. That's
A's are the laughingstock of the league right now, and they're actually off to a decent start, right? It's all relative, right?
They didn't
take the series yesterday, They lost yesterday. But for them, you know, they strung together a few wins, and, you know, what they had won 3 out of 4, I think, or something like that. And so they're off to a solid start.
Mm-hmm. So something to keep an eye on. It's still, I'll be honest with you, I understand it, but I still have a hard time dealing with the reality that, next April, the Sacramento A's will be opening the season.
Opening day.
At Sutter Health. They just won't call themselves that. But doesn't that seem bizarre?
It does. It does. But I tell you what. What if that first series is against the A's? The Angels? Somebody like, you know, some big the Red Sox. Like, can you imagine what it would be like in Sacramento? And then this time of year next year. Kings playoff game at night, A's game during the day. Or, you know, imagine that, man. Like, it's going to be bumping here in Sacramento, man.
Yeah, yeah. Or A's World Series in Sacramento as the Kings open the season.
Right.
Imagine that.
Now you're talking crazy. Oh, man.
I'm just looking forward to finding out what's next, because I feel like I'm not trusting anything that we're being told yet. I feel like, let me just wait and see what happens next.
Right. Let me ask you this. Are we at a simmering point now with news regarding the A's? Like, we won't know the Vegas thing fell through or is good for a while, right? Like,
I don't know when the state Supreme Court there, they heard it last week. I don't know when they're scheduled to hear it again. That could be something that comes like out of a blue bolt out of the sky one day,
Right. You're just going about
sooner or later, like, Vegas ballpark is going to go to a public vote, which I would think for baseball and for the A's, they would say, we don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
We don't. If it's going to go in the ballot, we're probably going to lose, so we're out.
Right.
Baseball does not want that going to a vote. Because voters now, like they did in Kansas City, more and more they're saying, we're tired of all the handouts.
Well, let me ask you this then. And we've talked about it shortly, but what would you do in Sacramento? Would it have to be brought to a where are those funds coming from?
That's a good question.
You know, down the line. I know if I'm putting the cart before the horse or anything like that, but, you know, if we are going to be home of Major League Baseball, the stadium needs to change. Let's call it what it is. It's not Major League caliber right now. Where do we get that money, and who foots that bill?
I don't know, but I would think part of the next 3 years or however long they're here will be about developing that goodwill, that bond with the community. Like, look how great this is. We're Major League Baseball. Oh, isn't this great to have the A's? Oh, by the way, we need a lot of money.
Right.
Help us build a stadium. And a lot of people, you know, if it works, that'll be part of it. In a couple of years, more people will be willing, I would guess, to say, all right, yes.
Okay,
I will
help you.
I'll vote in favor of that. I want to have that here.
Especially, like you said, if they see it succeed and it looks good. Right now, it's just sort of abstract. Like, I don't know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think? Is it going to happen? Are the A's going to end up staying in Sacramento? Like, staying.
You can't put me on the spot that.
Well, I just.
What do you think?
I think there's about a 40% chance.
So that means no.
Probably no, but it means there's a real chance. You know, in a couple months, it goes like, there's no chance Sacramento's getting a baseball team.
I think there's a chance. Yes, I'm with you on that. Because I don't think Vivek, the Kings ownership group, I don't think they would do that just for the hopes of an expansion team. I think they're banking. Maybe they know about the Vegas deal and already knows it's shaky. And so they're positioning themselves. So, yeah, I'd put it about 40 also.
I also think the A's, because the Kings are involved, they're going to have their own green beam, but we're never going to see it because they're never going to have an
opportunity. Never
going
to win.
Turn it on. All right, when we come back, what difference does it make where you're seated in the play-in? We have those actual numbers for you next. Okay. Your Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.